this morning, if you would, take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 this morning. We're going to begin preaching through the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And I want to encourage you, take the opportunity to write down some notes, mark your Bible, list the references, invite friends and neighbors and family, tell others about the series, because it won't preach through quickly. We'll be here for a little while, but there's a lot of good information, a lot of good preaching, a lot of good teaching out of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. I can promise you, based on the Word of God, like any other message, you will receive a blessing if you come with a heart prepared to hear and to learn the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, when we just read that introduction, it may not sound like there's a lot there. There is. There is. There's a lot that Paul said in those two verses. When you look at the New Testament, you read through it and you understand and you read Paul's preaching and Paul's persecution and everything that he dealt with as an apostle, you see all the difficulties that he had. Well, here in 1 Thessalonians, we find out that church in Thessalonica was having trouble. The Gentiles and the Jews, they were impugning on Paul's sincerity. They were criticizing him. They were defaming Paul. They were actually labeling him as a wandering charlatan, a snake oil salesman, if you will. That's how they were trying to label Paul in this community. The church was dealing with confusion. There was confusion about the second coming of Christ. Some of the believers were worried about their loved ones. They had died before Christ was coming back, and they were wondering what was going to happen to them. What was going to happen to their loved ones? Others were considering it unnecessary to continue working. Why? Well, Jesus is coming back, they would say. Why do I need to worry about work? I'll just quit. I'll sit here and I'll just wait on Jesus to come. That was literally happening in this community. Others were sinking back into sins of immorality, sins of the culture and the society of the day. The church was beginning to not fail per se, but it was beginning to lose its focus. There were more questions than there were answers. And coming through all of this in the end was a crisis inside of the church leadership. Many of the lay people that were coming to the church were offended because there was undisciplined and tactless leadership in the church. The leaders were struggling. The lay people were struggling. The doctrine was struggling. These were just a few of the difficulties that were going on in Thessalonica. Paul knew of these, and he writes these letters to the church. Just as these letters spoke to the need of the church in Thessalonica in this day, it has a lot to say to you and me in the 21st century. The problems may be the same, they may be a little different. The circumstances around them may be the same, they may be just a little different. But in either case, whatever it may be, there's something in here for the church today. It's a timely series. So, as we begin, we don't want to take a dangerous leap into reading through the introductions to anything in a quick and hasty manner. All that will do is get us off on the wrong foot. The greetings in both 1 and 2 Thessalonians are unique. There are 13 letters of the New Testament that bear Paul's name. 13. In all of the other 11, with 1st and 2nd Thessalonians being 12 and 13, the other 11, Paul opens with his title is either an apostle or a servant or a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But not here. Not here. He opens up simply as Paul. It's different. It's very casual. But it goes to say a lot more than that. You see, he mentions the names of two others, Silvanus and Timotheus, Silas and Timothy, three individual people. They collaborated together in ministry and in writing and in reaching out to spread the gospel. They were very close to one another. And I believe that's why Paul includes them here. He talks with them. I can picture a preacher's conference, if you will, between the three of them, where Paul's sitting there saying, fellas, we got to pray about some things and we need to write a letter. I need to communicate with these people. And they pray and they talk and they pray and they talk some more. And 1 Thessalonians gets penned as a result. It shows that Paul does not consider himself some kind of Christian celebrity. This greeting shows that he considers himself not better than anyone. Now, arguably, when it comes to preachers, if there was going to be a Preacher of the Century award, Paul would be right there at the top of the list. He was just that kind of a preacher. That's the way the church looked at the Apostle Paul. But that's not the way Paul looked at himself. He didn't see himself as any different than anyone else. Paul had a clear understanding of the nature of the body of Christ. He understood that every believer has a crucial place, not just a place, but an important place in the Word of God and in the church. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts of ministry across everyone, to each person, as He wills. As the Holy Spirit wills and wants it to be done, He distributes gifts. He gives them to you as well, to me. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior this morning, the Holy Spirit distributed gifts of ministry to you. What are they? Are you aware of them this morning? If you're aware of them this morning, how have you embraced them? Paul knew what his call was. Silas knew what his call was. Timothy knew what his call was. They had embraced them. Needless to say, as we go through, we will see where others in the church there at Thessalonica knew what their call was, and they had embraced it. But we will also see those that did not understand it and did not embrace it. How about you this morning, sitting in your pew? Do you know what God's will is for your life? And have you embraced it? Do you know how He has prepared you for His service? It's refreshing this morning that Paul would want to develop his gifts and use them and would encourage others to use theirs in God's service. You see, Paul could have taken the attitude that I am the great Apostle Paul, and because I am who I am, just follow me. Do as I say, not as I do. But that wasn't who he was. Paul said many times, let me be your example, but always keep your eyes on Jesus. Always keep your heart on Jesus. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Paul always encouraged deep relationships. He knew how important they were. See, I'm still on those Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, or Paul, Silas, and Timothy, of how important those relationships are. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important relationship we have in our life. Next is our relationship that we have with our families and our spouses. And next is our relationship that we have in fellowship with our church. with our church. Too often, the church fellowship and that relationship gets pushed away. And when it starts getting pushed away, and when we no longer see the importance of that relationship in our life, it no longer holds a special place. Because it doesn't hold a special place, then it starts drying up. And problems start creeping in. That's what happened here in Thessalonica. Paul says, don't nobody start thinking better of themselves than others. And likewise, instead of thinking better of yourself, don't start thinking lower of others. Paul cautions us not to do any of that because he tells us the gospel keeps us all equal. In other words, the ground is always level at the cross. There are no big I's and little we's. There's one more meaning to be found in this trilogy of men. They model the transcendence of the early church over ethnic, social, and cultural divisions of that time. Now that says a lot to say this. The church that's listed in the Word of God, that's given to us in the Word of God, the Word of God itself, ought to be more important to us than what the world thinks the church ought to be. The church doesn't need to be conformed to the world, but the church needs to be transforming the world. When we look around today, we can see all of that changing quickly. You can see churches that are wanting to be popular with the world. You can see churches that are wanting to be prestigious with the world. And they're willing to do or say or participate in just about anything to get there. Paul says that should not be so. The Bible says that should not be so. We don't need to put religion above redemption. That's happening too often in society today. Churches can be very religious. Churches can have a whole lot of religious ceremony and rites and rituals. But how much redemption do they have today? How much redemption do we have in our individual lives? Do our lives reflect redemption or religion? Let's just get it right down to where the rubber meets the road this morning. Does your life reflect religion or does it reflect redemption? These three friends shared a lot in ministry and life. What it showed is because of who they were, there was no difference in Jew or Greek. Not in the cross. Not when it came to Jesus. Paul was a Jew of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. Silas, Silas, Timothy, they were Gentile and mixed Jew and Gentile. But yet they were all saved by grace through faith. Their relationship showed that the ground was level at the cross, that there was no difference between any of them, socially, economically, culturally. Saved is saved. Born again is born again. It makes no difference about the ethnicity or anything else. That's the importance of Paul's opening and Paul's greeting. He wanted the church of Thessalonica to understand it does not matter who you were. It does not matter about your religious background. It does not matter about the color of your skin. It doesn't matter about any of that other stuff. He was telling the church of Thessalonica, that does not matter. What matters, if you're saved, you're a child of God and you're a member of the church. They needed to hear that because of the circumstances they were faced with. Paul's simple way of addressing the church is unique. He says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word church. When you hear that word, what does it mean to you? What comes to mind? That's not a trick question. It's a very serious and a very sincere question this morning because pick up the telephone book. Even here in this little town that we live in, pick up the telephone book and look at the churches and look at the different representations of the word church. Some of them are biblical. Some of them are not. I'm not going to get into pointing fingers or name callings with denominations or anything like that, but some of them are biblical and some of them are not. Church is a very broadly used word today. So what does it mean? The word church here, the way Paul uses it in this passage, comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and it has an original meaning of a gathering of citizens called out by a herald from their homes into some public place. It was a secular word. Ekklesia was a secular word. It was not a religious word. When they had a public vote, a democratic vote like we do in November and in the other voting thing, they gave a public cry of ekklesia, calling out the people to come and be a part of something. Paul was using ekklesia intentionally. He was calling out the church, the born-again Christians. He was calling them out, ekklesia, ekklesia, come be a part of something. Come be a part of what's going on with Jesus Christ. Come be a part. We're born again. We know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I know you from your testimonies. You have a testimony of knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are the body of Christ. He calls us, ecclesia, to come, gather together in one mind, in one spirit, in one accord, as the body of Christ, to perform duties. What duties? The gifts that were given to you when you were saved. The gifts that were given to you by the Holy Spirit. The gifts that He gave you to reach others for Jesus Christ. That's the ecclesia of the body of Christ. That's the church. Some of you may know, be familiar with the term the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, there's a word, kahal, and it is a word that means a congregation or an assembly. The Greek ecclesia translates that. That is, it's an assembly or a congregation that gathers because God has called it together. We're gathered here this morning because God has called us together. We're gathered here this morning to worship and to sing and to praise and to lift up Jesus and to be in His presence. We're called to be here today for a purpose, a divine purpose. When Paul opened up in these first two verses, unto the church of the Thessalonians, those that are called through the blood of Jesus Christ as the body of Christ, to participate in the ministry of Christ. It was very serious. It was very sincere. This greeting, as Paul opened up in his letter, was a greeting that said a lot, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father's pretty self-explanatory. But when we get into that phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior if you're born again. If you've accepted Him and salvation through Him, He is your Savior. But is He your Lord this morning? There's something very special about that. Is He your Lord? There are two ways the word Lord is used in the Greek. The first way is voluntary submission. The second way is military overthrow. The first way is how Jesus uses it, how the Bible uses it in our hearts and lives. It is a voluntary submission to Jesus Christ as having rule and authority over our lives. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life this morning? Have you given yourself over to Him in voluntary submission to everything in your life? Does He and His Word count your footsteps? Does He and His Word lead you and guide you and direct you? You see, you can be saved. You can be saved and born again of the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, but Jesus can still not be the Lord of your life. A point that He wanted made to those in Thessalonica. He wanted to challenge them and ask them, the body of Christ, you're being called out, ecclesia, to come and to be a part and to worship together, to be the body of Christ, but also you're being called out to have Jesus as the Lord of your life. He was establishing to them a purpose and a direction for everything that they have. When Paul opened up a greeting in these two verses, he established a foundation for those in Thessalonica to look at, to cling to hold to. He establishes a foundation through the Word of God this morning for us, here in this little church in the mountains of North Carolina, to cling to and to hold to. Is Jesus Christ our Savior? Is Jesus Christ our Lord? If He is, we are the body of Christ. And if we are the body of Christ, then we need to be the church, ecclesia. We need to be gathered together in order to worship, to lift up Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world this morning. And once we have that settled in our hearts and in our minds, then the rest of it, moving ahead, is going to fall right into place. So as we go through our study of Thessalonians, we've got the foundation laid. We've got the foundation laid of the conditions and the purpose of the church and the definition of the church and the meaning of it. Paul says in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. He wasn't talking about just anyone and everyone in general. He was talking about the body of Christ. Those who got it right and those who still have it right. Those who God is dealing with and working with in the community. And He lifts them up in prayer. Why? Because so many have started falling away. So many have started drifting. Don't forget your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't forget your family members. Those that are firmly planted in the Word of God, in the will of God, in the work of God this morning, because they need to be prayed for. They need to be lifted up. Don't forget your husbands and your wives. Lift them up in prayer that God will continue to use them, that they will stay true and that they will remain encouraged to do the work and the will of God. Because so many have fallen away. In the day that we live in today, we can look around and we can see so many that have fallen away from the body of Christ. I'm not saying they've lost their salvation. I'm saying they've lost their way. We've got to be careful with that this morning. We've got to be careful. We've got to lift one another up in our prayer. In order to maintain and to stay the body of Christ, we have to stay the church. We have to be ecclesia. We have to have Jesus Christ as not just our Savior, but as the Lord of our lives. We have to have our foundation right. We have to have our faith right. We have to have our grace and our hope and all of those matters right. And if you notice, in verse 1, he says, grace and peace. And peace. You can't have peace without grace. We can live in a peaceful world where there's no war, where there's no violence. But we can't have peace without grace. And we can't have grace without Jesus. So this morning, as we walk away and as we've gotten started in this study on 1 Thessalonians, remember this foundation that's been laid by Paul. Remember it. And look at your lives. Examine yourselves. And ask God to show you where you need to be closer to Him, and for to Jesus to be the true Lord of your life in everything that you do and say. I'd like to ask for our musicians to come and give us a hymn of invitation this morning. If God spoke to your heart today, this altar is open. Come and do business with Him. Whatever God has laid upon your heart this morning, you come and you be obedient to Him.